Welcome back. And among other things, being a psychotherapist and a life coach, she's an award-winning author. She has brought her book today, Parenting for Wife. And the interesting accolade on the back from Deepak Chopra: if you're interested in conscious parenting, this book is an excellent guide. And I know that she is dedicated to working and helping this world one family at a time. And she does that in a very safe, conscious environment. And since I didn't really know her, I went on her website, checked a few things out. And if you go to the testimonies, you'll see why she is the real authentic deal, living a life of purpose. So welcome, Nina.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Michael, Dave, thank you, Gretchen, for allowing me to be here today. I'm delighted to be with all of you. So good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody feeling today?
Great.
Wonderful. Great. So I wanted to bring up a subject that's kind of in the current events right now, which is the election. Everybody aware of all that, right? What that's been feeling like. And I think one of the underlying aspects of this election process is to identify what makes us tick, what makes our country tick. And in my assessment, no matter what this current outcome is, whether you voted for that person or not, to me, it's a really important universal lesson, a reminder that all we really need to remember is to love each other more, accept what is, hope for the best with optimism, and then take active, conscious action to make positive change. That's my political statement for the day. So, akin to that, and based on the topic today, which is the heart of your family, the question here is, what makes your family tick? And I want to first evaluate in terms of helping you understand. We come from a family, so that's considered the family of origin. That's where we're parented by mother or father, caregiver, where we're the child, where we're the recipient of the care. That's the family of origin. The nuclear family is the family that you create once you become an adult, and then you may have children, you may adopt children, you may not, and that's called your nuclear family. So the question of this moment is, what makes your family tick? So I thought of a few things that some people may identify with, which is, you do laundry at 11:30 at night when you have an infant. Anybody can relate to that? Midnight, you're cleaning dishes, and you finally get to take a nap at your desk, during the day because you don't sleep very much when you have a young one. And then maybe later, you finally get a little solitude in the bathroom or in the shower, and some little hands knocking on the door, trying to get in, and there you go. You have a moment of solitude. So there's a lot of change and a lot of growth that is always potential in the world of family. Is that something that you've heard before? Just hands up, that there's an opportunity for change and growth in families. Okay. I don't know that we're all taught that when we start out in the course of parenting. So what makes us alive and well as a country, as a human family, is what connects us heart to heart. What makes our family work is what connects us heart to heart. It keeps us alive and well, symbolically and as well literally. The function of the human heart and the people and the hearts of our society is what actually makes up the world, in my mind. In a real and symbolic sense, it's a vital life force. So, let's explore some expressions that relate to the heart. Thank you. The human heart. So I created a list, and feel free at the end, I'm going to ask if you have any additional ideas, some expressions. So there's big-hearted, kind-hearted, open-hearted, down-hearted, tender-hearted, heartfelt, heartless, heart and soul, heart of hearts, heart-centered, a heart connection, follow your heart, carrying someone in your heart, serious as a heart attack, unfortunately, wholeheartedly, heart pounding, heart broken, heart fluttering, heart racing, heart stopping, heart expanding. What else? Can anyone think of any other expressions?
Heartache.
Heartrending.
Awakened heart.
Awakened heart. Yes.
Open at the heart.
Heartthrob. Ooh. Wait. Somebody else?
Heart on your sleeve.
Melt my heart.
Any more?
Full heart.
So we may be able to even create a few new expressions.
Heartthrob.
So we might be able to create some new expressions. And just thinking about the term and the power behind the term, understanding that that really is what moves us as human beings in the human family that we're sharing. So I'm going to shift gears slightly from the generalized heart, the political and the social heart that we all are a part of, to the heart of your family, keeping in mind that we're all in different places in life. So, how many people in the room are parents, by the way? Oh, okay, so like 75%. How many are grandparents? Okay, like a quarter. How many are children, adult children? Everybody in the room. Every single person is an adult child. There is a term that is often associated with adult children of alcoholics called ACOAs, and that's where the term initially came from. And it gave those individuals permission to care for their inner children, which were wounded by alcoholic and whatnot parents. So I have a theory, and that is this. I have a bunch of theories, so I'll share them as we go. So to me, when we're raising our children, we're watching and observing them grow a little bit on the inside and the outside every single day, right? You put them to bed at night when they're little. You pick them up in the morning and they weigh more. They outgrow their onesies. How's that happen? So, because they grow at night, that's why. And just like hair grows faster in the summer. I don't know why, but it's a fact. So, yet, the other part of that equation, as our children are growing every day, a little bit on the inside and the outside, is we, as the adult children, as the parent in charge, also have the opportunity to continue to grow a little bit each day on the inside. That's how I parented my children, and I'll talk about that in a minute. With that awareness, that consciousness, that they're not the only ones growing, guess what? I signed up too. So once they fly the nest, and I'm a new empty nester, so I know what I speak here, the emotional and spiritual relationship and roles and interactions evolve. They transcend. They mimic sometimes more of a friendship. There may be a role reversal where the parent becomes more like the child and the child becomes more like the parent. And it's part of the process of life that we need to accept development in life, and that's part of it. And the fact that we're all living, God willing, to at least 100 now, that actually accentuates that process even more. And I want to add a side note I didn't write, but I want to say, because we're living longer now, the impact of our childhoods is even more critical than it was before. Because the influences and the relationships that we have with our caregivers, our parents, or whomever raised us, has more of a long-lasting lifetime impact than ever before in history. And I think I need to write about this because it really means a lot. So the other thing is, when you're parenting from the beginning of your time together all the way till the end of your time together, even if the roles have shifted, that relationship is intact as what I consider a lifetime relationship. And there aren't that many that we can consider lifetime relationships. And that's one. Even when people are estranged from their parents or their children, sorry, I want to see you too. Even when people are estranged from one another, the option, the opportunity for growth is always present. Why? Because of the love underneath it all. So for me, I'll share a little bit about myself as a parent and a professional. I have been overcome with joy in raising my kids. I have a 24-year-old son, and I have an 18-year-old son as of yesterday. And, wow. No matter, however big they get to be, however old we all get to be, they'll always be my babies. And I deem them as very wonderful, talented, and lovable human beings. So, as parents and mothers... Oh, wait, let me back up. I'm a clinician, I'm a psychotherapist. My master's degree is in expressive arts therapy, so art therapy, psychodrama, writing therapy. I do a little bioenergetics analysis, which is kind of like core energetics. It's where people hold in their musculature trauma and deeply held emotion that hasn't been expressed or needs to be expressed, and it typically takes a while for someone to get ready to engage in that process. It's pretty intense. It's what you would call major catharsis. And what it does, though, is it frees you at the end of that process to regard and remember and have memory for your life experience without the attachment to the emotional and sensing component. So you remember that something happened, and then you can let go a little more easily because you've expressed it. So the way I see parents and mothers are that we're expert human jugglers. Can anybody relate to that? Can you just let me know? Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So wait, can you keep your hands up for one sec, please? Okay, mostly women. Interesting. So when we multitask as parents, whether we're learning as we go, whether we came from families that we want to replicate, we'll get into that in a second, or we want to go the opposite direction, running and screaming, it's really wonderful to know that the balancing act is something that you can do. At the time, you wonder, how do you do it? But we can do it. And we also have to make sure we take care of ourselves in the process. So the other thing is that as parents, we protect our children, we guide them, we stand up for them, we incrementally let them go over time, a little bit at a time, from the minute they're born. And that's part of life, is giving, letting go, nurturing, and staying open. So I have a question for everybody, and that is, why do we have children? Why do we have children? And why do we not have children?
How long have you got?
So in the case of those who do have children, this is where the question is focused. I have a list. And just pay attention to your heart as I'm saying this list. I did some meditation to come up with some of the imagery and some of the phrasing. And I went into my heart to come up with some of this as well. So just kind of tune into your heart while you're listening. Those who have children, why do you have children? One, to care for another, watch your little one grow and learn. Two, to love and be loved unconditionally. Three, to carry on the family name, bloodline, or lineage. Four, to fulfill a maternal or paternal need and dream. Five, to lead or mold someone, to perhaps control or be looked up to. Six, to enjoy the role of parent, nurturer, protector, teacher, child advocate, guide, etc. Seven, a sense of personal purpose, connection, identity, and even personal empowerment. Identifying as a mother, as a father, as a good mother, as a good father. Eight, to make a significant impact on the life or lives of another. Nine, to rewrite the script of your family, childhood, to either replace or replicate that experience. As I mentioned before, in my practice, what I've seen, what I understand, is that we either replicate the way we were parented or we run as fast and far as possible to do the exact opposite thing. Does that make sense? I see nodding heads. Okay. 10, to love without conditions, deeply, fully, and permanently in this lifetime bond. 11, there's another one, to strengthen or save a marriage or partnership. 12, to experience the creation of a family unit. Number 13, to deliberately or intentionally share your love, time, talents, wisdom, values, and heritage to pass those on. Almost done. 14, to establish a personal and intergenerational legacy, a family tribe. Does anyone want to add to that?
To be surprised by the universe.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So present.
Yeah, I'm there.
Gift.
To learn and change.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Wonderful. So, these are some important elements that I find critical and crucial, and they're in my book. When I work with parents and couples and kids, it's always a part of the theme and the way in which I'm connecting with clients and groups. I want to make sure I can see everybody. So, hi. So, here's a few ideas of what that means in my humble opinion. So, the way I see it is that there's three elements, three factions, three processes that go on in the course of parenting over a lifetime. The first can happen in the beginning, in the early years, and it can also, they don't have to happen in order. It's another interesting thing. They can happen in the early years and throughout your time together. So I have the book section in this way too. So the first section is growing your relationship. The second section is evolving your relationship. And the third section is resolving your relationship, hopefully. And their goals, they're part of the goals that I see as incumbent upon the parent to learn and try and master. So here we go. Here's some of the tenets. Home is a safe haven. So that includes the physicality of the home, that it's safe for children. There's no dangers inherent in the environment. That it's emotionally and spiritually and psychologically safe for the child. And I'm a huge believer that it's every single child is a unique individual and must be seen and treated as such. So what might feel safe for one child, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, may be slightly different for another. Have you experienced that if you have more than one child? Yeah, because they're unique and they need what they need, and we have to learn who they are as individual human beings. Each child, as I said, also has rights and gifts that are unto themselves, whether they're gifted, special needs, regular children of all kinds. Every single human being has gifts. And it's up to the parent to support and observe those gifts. I also am a big believer in evolution for all in a family. So similar to the thought that children grow a little bit each day on the inside and the outside, and adults, parents, grow a little bit each day on the inside, I believe that part of the job of parenting over a lifetime is to help our children evolve and to allow ourselves to evolve at the same time. And evolution, again, it's intellectual, it's spiritual, it's emotional, and it's psychological. It's not any one element. Parents need to be accountable. I have people come to me and say, my child, and I listen, and then I want to know what their attitude is. I want to know what they're holding on to, that maybe they're role modeling to their child. Maybe there's a need for them to be more empathetic with their child. Maybe they need to find tools and skills to help their child deal with whatever that is, and to really understand the feelings behind a child's behavior. Young children, this is an interesting fact, preschoolers and teenagers have more in common than any other group. Isn't that amazing? Mm. Because the developmental tasks are exactly the same. So they're supposed to be rebelling. They're supposed to be questioning and trying to find out who they are in their own right, different from everybody else in that space. They're supposed to. We all did it, and everyone needs to be able to do that. Self-care, very important piece that a lot of parents, especially juggling mothers, forget, lose sight of, drop, and has to be picked back up. Because in order to take good care of someone else, we have to come from a place of fullness and not depletion. And when we are depleted, we set limits in anger that we didn't mean or we don't keep, or we're too tired to really bend down and listen to what the child's saying, or we forget to acknowledge something really precious that's precious to that person that we're too in our own head or in our own workspace or too exhausted to really recognize. And that's not fair to the child. So it's important, too, that we as caregivers, even grandparents, are in a place where you love yourself like on an airplane, as much as it doesn't always make sense to me. It does. We put the oxygen on ourselves so that we can save the child next to us. So some other things are, I see Parenting for Life, which is the title of my book, how convenient, right, as a mindful practice, similar to the practice of meditation, the practice of yoga, the practice of martial arts, the practice of gardening, the practice of cooking, the practice of you name it. It is a practice, and to be mindful is to be a conscious parent. To learn your style and goals is part of being mindful. It kind of it goes back to how you were parented. And unless we've done work on ourselves and we've worked with somebody that we understand, or we've done some reading about the styles, let me give you a quick overview and see what you recognize either in your parents or in yourselves, whether you're currently or previously actively parenting. So there's the authoritarian parent. The authoritarian parent is a dictator. And the way that they run their home is that they're in charge and the child does not have a voice. It's punitive. It's there's not a lot of room for discussion and communication. It's I'm right, you're wrong. It's punishment oriented. It's not reinforcement focused. It's punishment focused. Then there's the authoritative parent, which is what I'm into. And that's the democratic parent. That's the parent who I coined the phrase, parents are in charge, children have a voice. And with that consciousness, every moment, every interaction, okay, I'm in charge, you have a voice. Okay, I get it. What that means is that in that style of parenting, the child is welcome to speak. The child is part of consequences that are set when they're middle school and older. The child knows that they're safe because it's not necessarily a punitive outcome. Sometimes I am a huge believer in consequences being positive. We hear so much about negative consequences, the way you interact with children. People know that? Okay, thank you. So it's important to acknowledge the values that your child is expressing, or children, or the aspects of them that's so special, and you reinforce that. Special time with mom and dad, special time just with yourself. Being consistent, listening. I think empathy is a hugely lacking element in our society right now, and that has to start at home. A lot of this is role modeling as well as teaching with empathy, loving with empathy. I'm going to read a passage from my book. Okay, here we go. Imagine reaching out to stop the hands of time. Today's events impact, influence, and create tomorrow's realities. Be fully present to observe what you see and hear in the moment while you imagine its future effects. Take the time to pay close attention to all of the cues, hints, repetitive words, and behaviors that your child shows you. She or he is showing you who she or he is. See someone uniquely beautiful, deserving, and separate from you, yet part of you. Discover who your child is and who you are in each interaction. Pay attention to how you feel when parenting and take note of what is easy or joyful for you and what areas feel more difficult, stifling, or just plain impossible. Remember that every age and stage is great. There is no best age or stage of development. You as the parent have your own reactions, triggers, tools, and comfort levels with what your child presents to you each step of the way. As Marianne Williamson says, The more room you give yourself to express your true thoughts and feelings, the more room there is for your wisdom to emerge. Acknowledge and own your thoughts and feelings internally or with someone that you trust, so you can parent with as much wisdom and grace as possible. So I want to also add, because I know I'm running low on time, that I decided to start a parenting movement. And I'm not really positive how it's going to look and how it's going to work yet. So I'm just going to give you the name. It's either called Conscious Parents Unite or Conscious Parents United. And I'm looking to support and grow awareness, build awareness around the importance of the parent-child relationship across a lifetime for this planet. And as Michael said, I'm here to help heal the world one family at a time. I want to add, last but not least, that I wrote my book after a near-death experience. And I'm humbled and happy to be here. And based on that, I have my slogan, and I'm going to end with that now. And that is, live inspired. Thank you.